I had to start recording before I get this really good response. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. See, we have it on video. Oh, not on video. On recording, voice, audio, whatever it is. So yesterday, go out to dinner with our in-laws, and they're talking to the kids, and the kids were like, we went to the church building after the cleanup. Went to the church building. They said, really? And Matthew says, well, yeah, but there was nobody there. I don't know why. And so David asked me, what are you preaching over there? Why? What kind of preacher shows up at the building and nobody shows up with him? So I'm glad that y'all were gracious enough to be here with me today. And as always, I'm very happy to praise and worship God and fellowship with this body of believers. And I just want you to know that I appreciate each and every one of you. It's always an honor to be here with you. So thank you again. So over the past few weeks, we've been talking about personal growth, some personal goals. Are we the same last year as we are today? Will we be the same next year as we are today? How do we change? And what sort of areas should we be changing in? If we say that being a Christian, that believing in God, believing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior is transformative, how have you transformed? How have you changed? What sort of growth has occurred in your life? And so some of the goals that we have talked about, some areas that we all strive to grow in, first of all, is love. And what we learned from that is that we must be intentional about our time with God. We must be intentional about our time with God's people as we grow and develop in God's love. And to grow in knowledge, we learn that we must see God's word for what it truly is. As we walked in the Israelites' feet, we in their path, we saw how their concept of Scripture, of God's word, developed. We see that it provided witness to them, and that witness should have been revered and not feared. That Scripture offers hope and salvation, not contention and condemnation. And ultimately, overall, God's Word is for the purpose of knowing the Word, capital W, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then, most recently, we talked about growing in prayer. We learned that, yes, in fact, the Creator of the universe wants to have an intimate relationship with you. With each individual in here, He wants to talk and commune with you. He wants to have a deep, earnest relationship with you. Not just that awkward side hug kind of relationship, but the sweet embrace of our Creator. He wants to know you, and He wants for you to know Him. And to grow in prayer, we must fervently seek Him, regardless of social norms, regardless of our own barriers that we have in our hearts and minds. We have to put those aside, and we have to seek God in prayer to search His heart, because He already knows the depths of ours. And so now we move on to yet another area that we could find growth in. Yet another area that as God's people, we seek to be different tomorrow, next year than we are today. We seek to grow in this area. And this area for God's people traditionally has varied. It has the potential to offer supernatural powers as we see throughout the Bible. Historically speaking, this area also has the ability to cripple their efforts in serving God. Cripple their efforts in spreading the gospel, or even accepting the saving grace of the Lord and Savior. This area has the power to be great and wonderful and help us to fulfill our purpose as God's people. Yet without it, we have nothing. The Greek word for this area is pistis. It's used mostly in the New Testament, with few exceptions. The word is faith. And in the original language, faith is a noun. It's not a verb. It's not something that you do. As the Bible is originally written, it's something that you have. Yet even still, according to Scripture, we see that faith can manifest itself in varying degrees. We see that faith for us can be a bit misconstrued. Faith for us is most commonly associated with trust. Perhaps you've heard a sermon or lesson on the idea of trust, of faith. But as I said, this is where some of the confusion comes in. Because in the original language, faith is a noun. But in English, trust can be a verb or a noun. And so herein lies the confusion. You ever notice that sometimes whenever you're going through some really difficult times, people say, you just got to have more faith, right? If you just have more faith, then you can get through this divorce that's tearing you apart. If you just have more faith, then you can get through this bankruptcy that's making you feel like your life is falling apart. Or this disease that has torn and ravaged your body. You just got to have more faith. I was going to sing this, but I certainly don't want to now that I'm thinking about it. But in the words of George Michael, because you got to have faith, faith, the faith. So how is it that we faith more? Can you faith more than you already do? Well, if it's a noun, logically speaking, you can't faith more. Because faith is something that you have rather than something that you do. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 10 is where I'm going to be reading. And here we find Moses in an almost comical situation. We see in this scene that Moses finds himself speaking to a bush. Not just any bush. This is a burning bush. And Moses is talking to it. Despite the precarious situation that Moses finds himself in, he stands before God Almighty, receiving instruction from the Creator of the universe. As the Almighty God states and instructs all that he wants Moses to do, Moses responds a bit oddly. Having received something from someone so great and so magnificent, God encouraging him and saying this will all happen, you would think that his response might have been a little more different than what it is. Moses responds a bit unexpectedly, yet naturally, as many of us would. Starting in verse 1, he says, "But Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, 'The Lord never appeared to you?'" Then the Lord asked him, "What is that in your hand?" "A shepherd's staff," Moses replied. "Well, throw it down on the ground," the Lord told him. So Moses threw down the staff, and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, "Reach out and grab its tail." So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. "Perform this sign," the Lord told him. "Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand inside his cloak. And we took it out again. His hand was white as snow with a severe skin disease. "Now put your hand back in your cloak," the Lord said. So Moses put his hand back in, and we took it out again. It was as healthy as the rest of his body. Then the Lord said to Moses, "If they do not believe you and are not convinced by the first miraculous sign, they will be convinced by the second sign. And if they don't believe you or listen to you even after these two signs, then take some water from the Nile River and pour it out on the dry ground. When you do, the water from the Nile will turn to blood on the ground." And yet, in verse 10, Moses continues in the same old ways. He says, "But Moses pleaded with the Lord, 'Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled.'" Self-doubt, even in the face of encouragement, not just from somebody he looks up to, but from God the Father. As if it weren't enough to be speaking to a burning bush and hearing the words of God come from it, he still doubts. He still doubts the results, and he doubts himself. So, minus the burning bush, how often do we find ourselves in these similar situations? How often are we given the tools, we're given the instruction, and we're even given the motivation, yet for some reason we lack the follow through? We lack that ability to step off the ledge because we're not sure if what God is saying is actually true. We're not sure if we're going to fall off that ledge despite what God has told us. So imagine for a moment you are an Englishman in the 1940s, you're a soldier. Some of you may be familiar with this story, but in early June 1940, the British had just completed the evacuation thousands of soldiers from Dunkirk. They saved them from sure death. And Winston Churchill follows this magnificent feat with a very motivational speech, quite possibly one of the greatest motivational war speeches in all of history. He said, "We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall never surrender." Now, imagine you're that soldier that's sitting there and you listen to these words and you hear this motivational speech and you have the tools and the weapons necessary and you even have the instructions on where to go and how to do it and how you're going to win this war. And now imagine, after hearing this speech, you decide not to do it. You decide that those words, well, maybe they weren't motivational enough to get you to fight. Maybe you don't believe them enough. We have all that we need as the body of Christ. We have been given the tools. We have been given the instructions. We have been given the motivation. Yet, we find ourselves not serving. We find ourselves not doing. You know, yesterday, as many of you are familiar with, I saw the complete opposite of not acting. In fact, yesterday, I saw a group of Christians that identified the fact that they had the tools that God had blessed them with. This group of Christians were abiding by the instructions that God has given them to serve. And they were motivated by the love that God has shown them in their lives. I witnessed Christians that acted on that faith that they have. The faith that proclaimed that God has asked me, He has given me, and I will do. So I just want to take a moment to say thank you to Christoval Church of Christ, the congregation as a whole, for acting on that internal motivation of faith to step out into the community and show the community that we're a part of even just a glimpse of that love that God has shown you. Because we know in our heart of hearts, we know deep down that faith truly can move mountains. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says, "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." Nothing is impossible with faith. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Maybe for many of us, like myself, we're more in Moses' shoes. Maybe you have in your mind this action that God has asked of you. something that God has given you the tools to do. And like Moses, you have yet to take that leap of faith. You have yet to act on what God has asked of you. And if faith is something that you have rather than do, then maybe we just need to grow in that faith to get the action. Maybe if we grow more today and tomorrow and the next day, and we continually grow in faith, then that action will eventually come. But you say, Arthur, you said that faith is a noun, it's not a verb. How do we grow in faith? We don't grow in faith by having more faith. You grow in faith by something different. As Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. So if you feel like Moses, maybe still a little afraid of taking that leap of faith, and trusting that what God is asking you to do can be done. If you feel that way, simply stated, you receive faith by hearing. And if your faith has waned or become stagnant, perhaps you have stopped hearing the gospel. Perhaps the struggles, the responsibilities of this life have gotten so noisy that you can't even hear the good news. That you're not truly committing it to your heart. I know for many husbands in the crowd, you can sympathize with me on this. Because you would think, as a therapist and a preacher, I would be the last man on earth that ever gets accused of not listening. But it happens. And sometimes there's something audible, and I hear it. And I might even be looking in the general, she just stuck her tongue out at me. I may even be looking at the general direction of her. But yet, 5 minutes later, I dip into the conversation mentally, and I say, oh man, I don't know what she said. And so I have to ask. And I realize that I was hearing it, but I wasn't quite hearing it. Sometimes, as we've talked about in Bible class, as God's people, we can be here. We can be in our homes and we can read God's word and we can listen. We can hear the good news about Christ. Yet it's not helping us grow in faith. But Scripture tells us that's exactly how it works. So either Scripture is wrong, or you're really not hearing it. Or you're really like that bad husband who's not listening, who's not committing it to your heart. There's this really awkward and funny thing that we can do in therapy with couples, where you put one in this chair and you put another in this chair, and you say, okay, we're going to do active listening. And if you've ever taken a communications class or a speech class, you know all the basics, right? Somebody speaks, another person listens, so on and so forth. And so what we do in that situation is you sit there and you say, okay, now, Jane, you tell Bill how you feel. And Jane tells Bill how she feels. And then we ask, okay, now Bill, can you repeat that back to Jane? What did you hear? And it's this simple yet silly activity that forces us to listen. And as we listen to God, we can use many of those same silly skills. As an active listener of God, I'm going to be attentive to what God has to say in my life. I'm going to focus on God in my life. Seek ye the kingdom of God first, then all these things shall be given to you. Focus on God. And just like Bill needs to do, he's got to show the posture appropriate to show that he's actually listening to Jane. We need to be postured appropriately as we are focusing on God. When was the last time you got on your knees? When was the last time you sat down and postured yourself accordingly to listen to God? To tune out all the other things and say, I'm listening to your word. I'm listening to your voice. And finally, we show a genuine interest in what God has to say. Because yeah, the things that God, our creator, has to say actually mean something to your life. That actually means something whenever you go to work, whenever you go to school. It can change you. And it can change the people around you. And then finally, as an active listener, we reflect these things. We reflect the things that I heard. So Bill says, what I hear you saying is X, Y, and Z. As an active listener of God, I say, Lord, what I hear you saying is that you want me to go out and serve the community. And simply speaking, as we reflect what God is telling us, what we believe God is telling us, it requires us to process what we're hearing. It requires us to take it in and to process that information and say, Lord, I'm afraid of what you're asking me to do. But I still want to listen. So you want to have faith that can move mountains? Take a moment to listen to God. You want to have faith that can make Christoval Church of Christ a thriving congregation? Take a moment to listen to what God has to say. Or maybe simply, you want to have faith that makes it to where the mere absence of Christoval Church of Christ would be missed in the community. Listen to what God has to say in that area. Or more specific to our personal goals and personal pursuits. Maybe you want to have faith that is greater next year than it was today. And inside of your heart, you want to have faith that allows you to act on the things that God is calling you to do. Well, in order to do that, in order to do all things, we've got to listen. We've got to listen to God. And as we do, we will hear a very powerful message. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on the cross. He defeated death. And all for what? To save you and the people around you. What greater thing could you hear to offer the faith that you need to move mountains? So if you need prayer today, if you want to grow in faith, if you want to go ahead and take that leap, that step, whatever it is, we're here for you. We're here to pray with you, to help you along that path. Come forward as we stand and sing.
If I take my Savior calls before me, and with his loving hand.